The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Matter Private Network. During current restrictions, don't ignore your health concerns. Our expert team is ready to help.
Next guest has written a novel that is truly unique in the crime genre. It's called True Crime Story, and it's centred around the disappearance of a university student called Zoe Nolan. But you might be confused as to whether this is a true story or whether it is not. Photographs, email exchanges, newspaper articles add to the realism in the novel, along with real-world TV shows, media outlets and individuals. Joseph Knox is the author behind this pioneering book, which blurs the lines between fact and fiction, and he joins me now. Joseph, good morning and welcome.
Good morning. Hello. Thank you for having me.
Well, I was when I got this book in the mail, I was totally confused because I began to read it as something that was true. And then I noticed on the cover, it's called True Crime Story, a novel. So please explain.
Well, yes, True Crime Story is, I hope, a thriller like no other. It tells the story of Zoe Nolan, a 19-year-old Manchester University student who walks out of a house party in December of 2011 and is never seen again. 7 years later, a struggling young writer begins interviewing the friends and family of Zoe Nolan and uncovers disturbing inconsistencies in their accounts. And it's these interviews that really make up the bulk of the book and allows each character to kind of undercut the other as soon as they make a statement.
Now, we've all seen the true crime genre, which can be quite tabloidish in its presentation, but it goes through the story of the murder, the death, the disappearance of individuals, and it's presented in quite a lurid form. You wanted to subvert that genre in some way.
Absolutely. I think in recent years, a lot of people have become addicted to particularly true crime podcasts. And I was really asking myself, why are we so fascinated by these things? And I think there is a part of us that loves to see other people's lives under the spotlight. I think that's one of the great pleasures of crime fiction as well, is that as you investigate a murder, you begin to discover everyone's dark secrets, their proclivities, their hidden lives. And that is obviously heightened with true crime because we know it's all real. So I wanted to write a novel that had that kind of power, that could transfix people as powerfully as one of those true crime podcasts. And so it really became a question of, okay, how do I get all these different voices in the book, and how do I present a mystery that is so confounding that we need 6, 10, perhaps even 30 different accounts of the same story? That was really how I came to it.
Yeah, but it becomes even more confusing in a way, because you are the writer who's involved in doing the uncovering. And at the beginning, and I'll read this because it's at the very beginning, it's not a spoiler, and it's a publisher's note. This amended second edition of True Crime Story includes wider context on the previously undisclosed role of Joseph Knox, that's you, in the narrative, as well as his response to various allegations raised in the press. Further, Penguin Random House, who are your publishers, can confirm that they and Mr. Knox have mutually agreed to conclude their business dealings and have no plans to undertake any future projects. Please see below for a brief statement from Knox concerning this second edition. So,
yes, I admit a slightly bold opening there. Hopefully it doesn't strictly come true, but the Joseph Knox of the book is this kind of super problematic character, and he has a lot in common with me. He's written the same books that I have, so Sirens, The Smiling Man and The Sleepwalker, and he has found himself at a kind of career crossroads. And when this young writer Evelyn emails him this opening to a new book called True Crime Story, he begins to become obsessed with it in the same way that she has, but also he begins to try and wrest control of the story from her. And he deploys a lot of different things to do that. He alternately flirts with her, he compliments her, he puts her down. Obviously, it's not a wonderful representation of myself. But I thought that if I included myself as a character to make myself some kind of perfect, lovely man, would really undercut the realism that I was trying to get at in the book. Of course, everyone else presented it has their difficulties. There is no one who I'm trying to present as an explicitly likable character. I want realistic people with all of the flaws that that implies, and so I had to give a lot of flaws to myself as well to make sure that I fit in with that story, I suppose. And I mean, another thing coming from the true crime angle as well, though, is that one of the questions I ask myself when I'm listening to those podcasts and these people who've been through often such traumatic experiences are having their lives put under the spotlight, and we make judgments about them quite quickly. And I thought, well, what would my life look like under the spotlight? And it became just one more reason to write the book, I suppose.
When you were writing this particular book, and again, I'm struggling to know whether, where fact and fiction begin and end here. I've read, you see, that you had written a book which your publishers turned down. And this was,
That's
if you like,
correct.
a response. That is true. Explain.
That is true, yes. Well, I wrote a trilogy of crime novels set in Manchester, which were much more conventional crime novels. Although I had the idea for this book over a decade ago, it was far too advanced and far too complex for me to attempt at that time as a new writer. But with the experience of three other novels under my belt, it began to think I might be able to do it, but I wasn't quite ready yet. And so I attempted to write another book, a different fourth novel, which my publisher actually said was almost unreadably bleak and dark. And so it'd been something that I'd spent a year working on, and suddenly there was this incredible pressure where they did not want that book, but if I wanted to have a novel released this year, which of course I did because it's my livelihood, I would need to write something quite fast, and I was feeling quite a knock in my confidence at that point. I'd never had a book rejected before, and I thought, well, if this is my last chance to write something, if this is my last swing at the bat, I really want to do something ambitious and different and show everyone what I can do, but also pay my respect to the crime fiction genre. It's been my life. I absolutely love it, and I wanted to see if I could do something new and fresh that might sit with
And
some of my heroes in the genre.
it is very fresh in the sense that although we've had authors inserting themselves in the story before, for example, Truman Capote in Cold Blood,
Indeed.
here you are the real person, although it's a different version of you maybe than your nearest and dearest might recognize. But here are you, a real person, being inserted into fiction, which is
Well,
new, I think, brand new.
I mean, it's an interesting idea, and it's very interesting that you mention In Cold Blood, because of course this is one of to my mind one of the finest books ever written. But when you begin to look into the history of that, there are a lot of questions about what exactly is true about that book still lingering. There are interviews with people who were there at the time who say that Truman Capote often invented scenes completely. There are emotional moments that happen in the book that never happened in real life, and he obviously, Truman Capote, the novelist, overtook Truman Capote, the true crime writer, I suppose, at some point. And so again, I was trying to ask questions about how true is true crime. If the greatest book in the genre, In Cold Blood, is partially fiction, then can we really rely on any reportage of true crime to be explicitly the truth? My own sense is that as soon as you start writing something down and interpreting it, you are beginning to fictionalize things straight away. And so that's another question that I suppose the book is asking, is how true is any of this? And is fiction necessarily more false than fact? Is fact more true than fiction? I don't know.
You might just sketch out the character as much as we know at the beginning of the disappeared Zoe Nolan. I mean, she has a twin. She is perfection itself compared to the twin, it would appear, but then nothing is as it appears.
Yes, Zoe is someone who has been almost groomed for a life of stardom. Her father is completely convinced that she is going to be a pop star and has raised her to that effect. She does singing and dancing classes. She is going to study music at the University of Manchester. And yes, from the outside, everything about her seems perfect. When she goes missing, she has a handsome boyfriend, she has a best friend, she has these flatmates, and of course she lives with her twin sister. But as we begin to pore over the transcripts of interviews that are presented in the book, and of course interspersed throughout those interviews are emails between myself and Evelyn asking our own questions about the narrative. We begin to see that nothing is really what it seems. Of course, Zoe has had deep psychological problems. We learn that she has at least self-harmed and perhaps even been suicidal at some points, and that part of that comes from the pressure put on her by her father, who's, as I say, convinced she's going to be a star. At the same time, that's made life very difficult for a twin sister who, although on the surface is an identical twin, she is much less popular than Zoe. And so she really takes center stage in this book because, of course, we can't have Zoe's testimony because she's missing. And so Kim really stands in for her throughout the book and tells us what she knows about her sister. But of course, Kim has her own very dark secrets as well. And we have to keep asking ourselves as we speak to first the twin sister, then the ex-boyfriend, the drug dealer, the best friend, etc., etc. Which one of these people can we really trust? Because at alternate stages, each will accuse the other of being a liar.
It's very interesting. It reminded me a bit of a movie I saw many, many, many years ago, a Japanese movie, Rashomon, where you have different
That's wonderful.
versions of the story, the bandit story, the wife story, the samurai story, the woodcutter's
Yes.
story, and you've got to try and figure out the truth. But in your case, of course, we've got your story in the middle as well. So
Indeed, indeed.
it's a brilliant book, a brilliant book. It's called True Crime Story, and its author, Joseph Knox, who is still, I think, in the embrace of his publisher, Penguin Random House. Joseph, thank you very much for joining us this morning.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure talking to you.